Good to be with you again. This week I got an unusual amount of phone calls. More than I usually get. People are telling me they feel depressed, out of sorts. I asked each one of them, what are you doing all day? And they said, I'm watching the war on TV. Is it any wonder they get depressed? When you still believe that you are the body, then you also believe in other bodies. Consequently, when you watch a war on TV all day long, you're feeling those bodies that are getting killed. And so you feel depressed. You see what I'm saying? If you believe you're the body-mind phenomenon, then you're also the body-mind of the whole universe. Because there's only one body. And that's the entire world. In other words, you are everyone's body. Naturally, you'll be affected by seeing bodies getting killed in a war. The smart thing to do is not to watch. But work on yourself. Raise your consciousness to such a high state that you will be above and beyond the war, and you will see it from a different perspective. Everything is consciousness. Everything. When you ask, what is consciousness? There is no valid answer. So I remain silent. Therefore, you can say that consciousness is silent. When someone asks me to write a book or give a lecture, then I have to explain consciousness in about 50 different ways. And each word has another 50 words to explain that. And those words have another 50 words. So a volume of this book is written with 800 pages. What does it say? Everything is consciousness. I could have written one page, and in the middle of the page I would say everything is consciousness. The rest is a blank. This is the reason why I do not write books. Because there's nothing to say. See how confusing it is. You read so many books during the week. You usually do not remember what you read. And if you do, it's intellectual. You're using somebody else's words. Where in truth you should be using your own words and having your own experience. I don't know what consciousness is. But I am that. If I knew what consciousness was, it wouldn't be that. Because I would be voicing a word. And it would be limited by the very voicing of the word. So consciousness is no thing. It's nothing you can pin down. It's nothing you can describe. It's nothing you can write a book about. Consciousness is silence. Sometimes I say, consciousness is absolute reality, and there's a more word. You don't have to explain absolute reality. Consciousness is ultimate oneness. Your intelligence. Consciousness is all of those things. But what are those things? Again, they're just words. Sometimes I say consciousness is love. Love. Satchitananda, knowledge, being, existence. Those are just words. And you get a good feeling from the words. But the feeling doesn't last too long. For you have not digested the words. You have not become a living embodiment of consciousness. The only way you can do that is by keeping still. If you want to solve any problem in life, do not try to solve it verbally. Become quiet. It is a known fact that people like Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison, and others, when they had a mathematical equation to solve, they would sit in their rocking chair for hours in the silence, and everything would be revealed to them. That's how Einstein came up with his theory of relativity, if you read his life story. He used to spend hours sitting by himself in the silence. And everything was revealed to him scientifically. So it is with you. If you want the answer to any problem, do not run to a psychiatrist or a lawyer or even a doctor. Just sit by yourself and listen. Yourself has all the answers. Why? For as we discussed Sunday, every atom of the universe is within you. You are that. You are the entire universe. You are the microcosm of the microcosm. Therefore, all of the answers in the universe must also be in you. All of the solutions, all of the wisdom, all of the happiness and bliss you've been searching for, it's within you. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I and my Father are one. And also, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He wasn't talking about a person called the Father. He was talking about a universal principle of harmony, of bliss, of joy. He was speaking of consciousness. It's within you. It is you. You are that. You have always been that. It isn't far away. It's right where you are. And as you sit in the silence and think of these things, you will begin to realize something very interesting. You will begin to realize and understand, well, if my body is consciousness, it can't be a body. For it can't be both. It can't be consciousness and my body. That assumes duality. So as you start to think about the word consciousness in the sound, it is revealed to you that you have no body. There is only consciousness. And it doesn't seem strange at all. For when you begin to understand and fathom what consciousness really is, you will realize it is self-contained. Consciousness knows only consciousness. It doesn't know the universe. It doesn't know bodies. It doesn't know problems. It doesn't know wars. It doesn't know man's and humanity's a man. It doesn't know anything you know. It only knows itself as pure awareness. And as you sit by yourself in the silence, this becomes perfectly clear. And all of a sudden the realization comes to you. I have no problems. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the world. There's nothing going on. There's only consciousness. I know this sounds strange to some of you, because you're so identified with your body and mind that you say, what about the experiences going on here? What about this? What about my rent? You'll have to pay next week. And what about my husband that left me? And what about my job that I've been terminated from? That's all very real. Of course it's real, because you're identifying with the body. So it's very, very real. There are not two worlds. It is not the world of the body and the world of the universe and the world of your problems and your fears, and also the world of consciousness. There is only consciousness. and you are that. Just listening to this sets you free. It sets you free from all doubt and limitation. You begin to feel immortality. You begin to understand that you were never born. How can consciousness be born? And if you were never born, how can you die? What dies? Well, some of you say the body. But I tell you, there is nobody who dies. There's just nobody home. There never was a body. There is no body. And there never will be a body. If you can't see that yet, or feel it, don't worry about it. All I ask you to do is to sit in the silence. Everything will be revealed to you. This is why I always tell newcomers, don't believe me. Don't believe a word I say. Find out for yourself. Everything I share with you is from my own experiences. Not what I read in the book or what someone else told me. When I went to see Ramana Maharshi in 1947, I went to confirm my own experiences. And I laughed when I realized there was someone else who felt what I felt. This teaching appears abstract to some people. But it's not really abstract. It's truth. It's reality. It's your reality. Someone may say, this is too highfalutin for me. I want something practical. I want to improve my humanhood. I just want to live my life out and be a millionaire and be healthy and have a mansion. In other words, we want to have what you think you should have. So does everyone else in this world. But are they happy? Are they fulfilled? Statistics show that there are more suicides among the rich than the poor. Therefore, if being a multimillionaire is so great, why are there so many suicides? Simply because everything must change. We live in a world, as you know, of constant change. And if you don't accept that, you suffer. As I explained Sunday, your body, what you call your body, is in a state of constant flux. It's never the same, just like the universe. There's nothing solid, there's nothing permanent about anything in the universe. Everything is in a constant state of vibration. What appears to be this body vibrates at a certain rate, what appears to be the dog vibrates with the solar rays. What appears to be the chair vibrates with the solar ray also. The more gross something is, the slower it vibrates. But everything vibrates. Everything is composed of atoms and energy with tremendous space between. Nothing is solid. When you realize that your body is not solid and is not what it appears to be, how can you still identify with it? Foolish. You can tell to what extent you're identifying with your body by the way you react to situations. If a situation still makes you angry or uptight or depressed, then you know for sure you're identifying with the body. On the other hand, you don't go to the other extreme and say, I don't care and I don't give a damn about anything. If you didn't, you wouldn't say it. It's another case of not giving a damn. The more evolved you become, the more compassionate you become. The more you show loving kindness to everything, to the mineral kingdom, to the vegetable kingdom, to the animal kingdom, and to the human kingdom. You show total compassion, loving kindness. You become an embodiment of love. Simply because everyone is you. I am my brother, and my brother is me, as Emerson said. There's no differentiation between you and Saddam or Bush or anyone else. So you don't humanly love these people, and you do not humanly hate these people. It's just an experience that the world is going through. Remember, when you believe in your body, then the world is becoming very real to you. And this world is a third-rate world. It's like the third grade in the school. There are other planets and other galaxies that are fourth grade and fifth grade and sixth grade in high school and college. And that's all an illusion. Yet if you identify with the body-mind phenomena, there's a whole series of planets, just as there's a whole series of bodies. It's all the same. Don't you see? As long as you believe you are the body, then there are millions and billions of bodies. And the world is a body. The universe is a body. So there are millions of worlds, there are trillions of galaxies, there are trillions of universes. And all this happens because you believe you are the body. Isn't that something? So can't you see now it's your fault that everything is happening in this universe? You are the creator. Everything is an emanation of your mind. it's you to think up these things that are going on in the world today. If you want to stop it, if you don't like what you created, stop identifying with it. Instead, dive deep, deep within and identify with yourself, which is consciousness. Absolute awareness. As soon as you begin to identify with yourself, then the whole world becomes yourself. As within, so without. As above, so below. Can you see the picture now? What you are seeing in this world is yourself. If you don't like what you see, do not try to change person, place, or thing. Change your outlook. And you have to be able to catch yourself all day long. Do not get caught up in the situation. And then you feel out of sorts, and you feel disappointed, and you feel depressed, because someone spoke harshly to you, or someone told you something you didn't like to hear, or someone did something to you, or whatever. That's why it appears in most instances that if someone really evolves to a high state, the worst of conditions sometimes seem to befall that person. And when the worst of conditions befall you, it's a blessing in disguise. It means you're growing. And all of these things are coming to you to prove to you and to show you that you are not that. And so you turn within and see the truth. Identify with the truth. I am the imperishable self, the absolute reality, the pure intelligence, emptiness, nirvana, ultimate oneness. I am that. Then when you open your eyes, you will see a different universe. You will see love, harmony, joy, bliss. You are seeing yourself. I therefore ask you the question, what do you want to see in this world? Condition after condition after condition after condition. Even if because of karma, you are living a relatively good life, it means nothing. Even if you're living a relatively happy life, you have perfect health, you have a perfect wife or husband, you have perfect employment, you have a perfect income, you have a perfect home, you have perfect children, it means absolutely nothing. where there's a law of the universe that says everything must change. And as long as you're identifying with the universe, you must go through those changes. Now, you may not find much of a change in this life, but remember, what you call your life is but a split second in eternity. Like that, you're here and you're gone. Because of time and space, you think you have 70, 80, whatever years to live. Nope, your life is but a split second in all eternity, and you're gone. If you have not found your reality or yourself, you may come back again to this planet or to another planet. And the person who is living a relatively good life here has to go through the change. You may be born during the Dark Ages, when the world has gone back and round again. And you may get caught up in the Inquisition, where you're caught as a spy or something, and you're tortured, and your toes are cut off, your fingers are cut off, and your tongue is ripped out. And you go through happy experiences like that. That's the other side of the coin. That's why I say, if you're living a relatively good life, do not say to yourself, I don't need this teaching, I've got everything I want. I've heard so many people tell me this. You see, this teaching, Rob, is for people who are miserable, who are not fulfilled. I don't even answer those people. They are deluded into believing that because they've got the good things in life, that's it. Little do they know the experiences they're going to go through when the change comes, whether in this life or another life. That's why the smart thing to do is to transcend all human experience. For human experience is a big lie. In reality, there is no human experience. There's no experience whatsoever. There's no foundation for creation. Only consciousness exists, and you are that. Any questions? Good.
I think I watched more war last week and felt less depressed.
And less depressed?
Because of your exercise. And I know better. I mean, I know that I have to do it myself, but I can't get it from an outside authority. But I know when I left here on Sunday, the power of the exercise. Who am I question was so depressed that I just didn't want war, and I didn't feel depressed by it. And when I left on Sunday, I said to myself that I should take, even though you didn't give us an exercise, that I should give it to myself this week, and that I took you to be saying, as you had always been saying, this is what we must do at every moment. But I didn't do it. Mm. And suddenly Monday I woke up, and for no reason, I was just depressed. It was as if somehow I lifted myself. something entirely, but maybe some other things were waiting around and they all came along that eventually. It's still maybe on a higher ground because I can see things in a way more clearly, but it's some sort of a sad emotional reliance upon an outside authority figure that they know better, but I still emotionally probably.
Yeah, that's a good comment and question. That's why I do not give you exercises every week, because they become a crutch and you begin to depend upon them. You look at the I am or who am I as if it's an entity by itself, as if that is your savior. But I say to you, you've got to transcend even that and be able to sit in the silence and go deep, deep within yourself, where you become I am, without the words. It's therefore very well in the beginning of teachings like this, not to watch too much TV, not to watch anything, not to read too many newspapers, not even to read a newspaper, but to try to work on yourself continuously. For as you said, you may build yourself up for a while, and then you're able to take all these things, wars, confusion, whatever's coming your way. But the world gets a little too much for you after a while, due to the fact that you have not transcended completely. I have some people calling me also and telling me they feel depressed and out of sorts this week, and they didn't watch the TV. What happened? What happened is this. They are still identifying with the body, and they're picking up the collective unconscious of the human race. So in today's world, there's a fear in the collective whole. People are worried about the war. It's like a negative vibration that goes into the atmosphere. And many people that are passive pick it up. And they wake up in the morning, they feel out of sorts, they feel depressed, and they have no reason to be. That's what's happening to them. The way they should handle it is this way. They should observe themselves and see what's happening to them. And then ask themselves the question, to whom does this come? Of course the answer will come, this comes to me. I feel this. Then you ask, who is the I that feels this? Where did that I come from? Who gave it birth? Who am I? And you did not answer that question. If the feeling still persists, you do it all over again. You ask, to whom does this come? To me. I feel it. After a while, you will begin to realize that all of your depressions, all of your out of sorts feelings, everything, even the good things, are attached to the I. The first pronoun, I. You begin to understand, I don't want to change my depression into happiness, but that's two sides of the same coin. What I want to do is to transcend the I and everything will go with that. And you do that by asking the question, where did the I come from? What is I? Or who am I? Whatever you like. And then you wait. And you ask again. And you wait. And you ask again. If you are now bombarded by other thoughts, you repeat the procedure over again. To whom does this come? And you go through it again. You have to have patience and realize that what you're doing is very important. And one day something will happen and you will realize who the I really is and what it is, and you will be free.
There is a saying in the Vedas, there is no beginning but no, but there is none.
Why does it say that?
Well, different teachers have been telling me that.
No, what they really mean is the saying, all is Brahman and I am that. Maybe that's what you're referring to.
No, it's a clear statement from a lot of teachers that there is no beginning, but there is an end.
How can there be an end?
To ignorance, for
instance. Excuse me?
To ignorance. An end to ignorance.
Oh, I see what you mean. There's an end.
Yes, but no beginning. I don't understand what they mean by no beginning.
There was no beginning to begin with.
Yeah.
But when you get caught up in Maya, there will be an end to that.
Right.
That's what you mean.
I guess so, yeah.
There never was a beginning. And there never will be a beginning. But you somehow came along to believe that the body is real and the mind is real and the world is real and the universe is real. That belief has to come to an end.
Yeah. That will come to an end.
Yes. Sooner or later. That's why we're talking about.
Yeah, but what I didn't understand is why they say that there's no beginning.
Because there's no substance. There's no substratum. There's nothing that began the universe. But you came along in this world like a dream. But it had no beginning. As an example, when you are dreaming, does the dream have a beginning? You don't dream about Adam and Eve. The dream starts somewhere. There never was a beginning, but it ends, doesn't it? You wake up. So the dream had no beginning, but had an end.
I understand what you're saying, but in the individual consciousness, I still would say that I remember a dream from the beginning. The beginning was such and such.
But it wasn't a real beginning. It was a dream that was...
Something started to happen. I felt myself dreaming that.
You didn't feel yourself dreaming, you just started dreaming that you're in a palace, or you're riding in a plane, or you're married with children.
Right.
But you didn't start from the beginning when creation was born. There's no beginning.
It's
just a continuing dream.
That is what's meant. I don't know. You know, that's what I'm...
Yes, that's what's going on.
I'm questioning. And the other thing what I'm questioning is like, you say you are beyond all that. All this is the Maya stuff, right? Is that what you're saying?
I have nothing to do with Maya.
You have nothing to do with Maya. And you are total unconditional happiness and love. Is that what you're saying?
That's what you're saying.
No, no, no. I'm asking you what you are, what you experience.
I experience
peace. What do you experience right now?
Peace.
Peace. But you don't experience, you're not in ecstasy right now.
Ecstasy is a human word to describe a physical term.
No, I mean, isn't what you are experiencing ecstasy? Isn't that ecstasy?
I'm experiencing nothingness, which is total joy and bliss.
Okay, why is that? Doesn't that translate into the body that you feel so ecstatic and smile and
it would translate to the body if there were a body. But there's no body.
Okay, so, but you are functioning in this world.
That's how you see me.
Yeah, with this body.
You're speaking from your experience.
Absolutely, yeah. But
so why should I do?
Even if I'm not around, if you're by yourself, you still function through a body.
How do you know if you don't see me? I'm only functioning as far as you're concerned when you see me.
Huh?
You're creating my body.
No. If I'm not around, if you're all by yourself, you still express yourself and you still walk around, right?
How do you know?
It's obvious to me.
It's obvious to you.
Yeah.
That's your opinion.
No, it's not an opinion.
It's an assumption.
No. It's an awareness of mine.
It's your awareness and it's what you think.
Yeah.
So why should I be doing what you think? That's what you think.
Yeah.
So why should I be doing what you think?
No, I'm not saying that you are supposed to do what I think.
That's what you just said. That's what you're saying. That
you're denying your body, but the truth is that you are a body here.
That's your truth.
No, that's also your truth.
Because that's what you say.
Come on, touch yourself. Touch yourself.
Of course.
Yeah. So what do you touch?
Nothing.
Oh, that's denial. That's denial.
That's your opinion.
Absolute. Absolute denial.
You're identifying.
I don't share that opinion with you.
I don't talk to you either. I
see, what you are doing, you are identifying with the body mind, and you're putting me in your identification. Like somebody else would see me otherwise. For instance, if I asked everyone in this room, when they look at me, what do they see? I would get 20 different answers.
What?
Somebody would say, I see a wonderful human being. Somebody would say, I see a sick person. Somebody would say, I see a healthy person. Somebody would say, I see God. Somebody would say, I see a body. So you're telling me what you see. That's all.
Yeah, but there is still there is somebody there. You say the lights are on, but nobody's home. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's what you're saying.
No, but is that what you experience?
I experience myself.
So if you experience yourself, couldn't you be the self plus the body?
Like why? Why should I be what you want to be?
Krishna Shiva, I'd say. This world is not an illusion. It's real, but it's something that emanates from this all awareness you have.
Well, if I'm not a Krishna Shiva, what should I say then?
Well, because there is no lie to the world. The world and the sub or the highest truth, as you see it. Is one, right? Well, you're saying it in a sense.
Let's put it this way. Imagine, if you will, that you're having a dream. And we're sitting like this in your dream. And we're talking back and forth together. And I am saying, I am not the body. I have no body. And you're saying, yes, you do. And then we look at each other and you wake up. What happened to the dream? It was all a dream. The same thing is happening now. All this is but a dream. It appears real.
Yeah, but
when you wake up, theoretically speaking,
but practically speaking, you are living a life. I live a life, and you're still here. You're still until the body actually gives up, doesn't function anymore, then you're gone.
The body doesn't give up because there was never a body to give up.
But I bet you're right, you're going to stick around until your body is not functioning anymore.
That's what you see. If you can only get that clear. That's the experience you're having now. If you had my experience, you'd be speaking like I'm speaking. But you're speaking from your experience, and you want me to accept what you believe.
Yeah. I'm not trying to make you accept anything. What I'm trying to say is that it from an individual point of view as I am, it doesn't make sense to say I don't have the body. You know, and even if you are in your highest state, it doesn't make sense to me to say I don't have a body because everybody can see your body.
If it doesn't make
sense, you know, not just me, everybody can see you.
If it doesn't make sense to you, then don't say it.
No, but you're saying I don't have a body. But you really have one.
But that's my experience.
Well, that's your experience. My argument to that experience is, what is the sense to say I don't have a body, I'm not a body, if you really have one?
But that's what you're saying.
I think he agrees with you too. His practical experience is that he doesn't have a body.
And how come you cannot express this joy, the infinite joy?
I am.
But why aren't you, blissful and like look so like full of joy and
why are you Krishna falling down?
Again, you want me to be what you imagine it should be like.
It's a projection of your own false imagination under Robin. You want him to be the way you think somebody with enlightenment should be. And that's nonsense.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
But it
is. Uh-huh. I'm saying
exactly
that,
what you're saying.
That why isn't consciousness, the highest consciousness, project itself as being something which everybody would run after, but
that's not my idea,
Like Wayne Newton.
you don't see that's your idea about it. That you're projecting your idea and insisting on it being valid. It may be a bunch of nonsense.
No.
What's going on in your mind?
I don't know.
Absolutely it goes on in my mind.
It's your image that you're hung up on, and you're projecting it onto Robert and insisting that he ought to be the way you imagine he should.
I don't have the idea.
This is getting redundant.
The only way of Robert is to really be dancing around.
No.
That's not my idea.
Robert, where you're coming from. That's all it is. You see everybody from where you're coming from.
You're thinking that everybody sees what you see. One of the most valuable things I learned.
I didn't understand this before either, but now I understand it. I see Robert from where I'm coming from. I see you from where I'm coming from, too. Everybody. You're just a reflection. See, Robert's a reflection of you.
Folks, I don't want to upset your group here. It seems like the whole group tries to. I'm not trying to make an argument against you. I was asking Robert a question. What I feel about total bliss and consciousness, and in my opinion, it's just. I'm just a person, I'm not a guru or a teacher or nothing like that. But as a person, I see consciousness should be blissful and uplifting to everybody. as you just, you know, as soon
words.
As you recognize it.
That's words. That's words.
You get in touch with it.
That's only words.
If you have mud in your
but
eye,
you can't see him.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Beyond, I mean, total consciousness should be beyond words. You should absolutely experience it without having to look for it.
Then you can't
I
see
think,
it.
I think you should be sitting up there.
You will not be able to see it because it's beyond words, beyond thoughts, and beyond space.
So, can I feel it?
Cold,
can I feel it?
You can feel it when you become it, you'll feel it.
Yeah, so, if I feel it, then I don't need to ask questions, I don't need to speak anything, but I am it.
Then you should do the practices, and you should practice within yourself to be able to feel it and become it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, can this spread? Like, you know, like immediately I can realize that, oh, well, there's something there which I really want.
You mean, can I give it to you?
Yeah, there's something there which I really want. I want to go after that. This is what I'm really...
Then you have to
what
be
I'm
receptive.
Here for.
You have to be receptive. And you're receptive when you empty your mind.
No, and I mean, anybody, even if you're not receptive, if you are, so to speak, like an innate object or something, that even will start to vibrate and say, oh, I want to go after this.
You're speaking of cities. You're speaking of powers. You're speaking of a completely different teaching. We're not trying to give out power here or become a cult. And magic and be able to do strange things. I know what you're looking for. You're looking for proof. You want me to be like Sai Baba, materialize ash, or materialize a diamond.
What is the difference between you and Sai Baba?
I don't know. We're all the same spiritually. But this is Jnana. This is Advaita Vedanta.
Yeah.
It's not Kashmir and Shivitanta. So it's a little different than what you used to.
I've been studying both sides. That's why, you know, forgive me, but I just...
It's okay.
In my opinion, you know, I just wanted to know or hear it from you. Why aren't you always smiling or you know, be always in rapture, you know? That's how I picture, you know, beautiful beauty, you know, internal beauty.
Who pictures that?
I do.
Who are you?
I guess, as you say, I'm everything.
But are you? See, what you do is you're repeating my words. What do you think you are really?
No, as I know what I'm, as I'm speaking now, I'm just a person. That I know.
So if you're a person, then you're an ego.
Absolutely.
So if you're an ego, you're part of the world.
Absolutely.
And you see what everybody sees in the world.
Yeah.
So why should I become what you want to see?
No, I'm not saying that you should become what I want to see.
But you said you want to see radiance and smiles and bliss.
That's not what the world is.
I know.
There's a lot of sadness in the world.
But that's what you want to see.
No, I want to see consciousness in total freedom and beauty, you know.
What do you see now?
What I see now? Mm. An old man sitting here and talking.
Okay. So change your opinion. Go within yourself.
Right.
And find out who you are. Then you'll see me like you.
Well, if I see you as me, then I wouldn't, there's no more bodies.
You're speaking of yourself now. But if you work on yourself and dive deep within yourself and lift yourself up a little, then you'll see me as yourself. Because there's only one soul.
It's a theoretical thing to me, theoretically possible. But as long as I have to function in my body, I don't have to deny my body. I mean, I can say I'm beyond the body, truth. But
who said
I also have a body.
Who said it was the mind of body? I never say you must deny your body. I say you do what you have to do with your body. As long as you believe you are the body, then you have to take care of it, and you have to be careful what you do.
Yeah, that's what I have to do.
So do it. And everybody's happy.
I don't think I have to weigh around that.
Then do what you have to do. But don't see anybody else as you. Everybody is different.
Absolutely, as everybody's different. Yeah, I understand that.
So you're giving your attributes to me?
No.
Of course, everything is coming out of your mind. Everything you tell me, where does it come from? It comes from what you know.
No, when we have now a conversation, what you speak comes out of you, what I speak comes out of me.
Exactly. Huh? So you're seeing the whole class from your viewpoint.
Well, yes, of course.
You're saying your viewpoint is correct, and that's all it is, your viewpoint.
No, I see that you have a viewpoint too, otherwise we wouldn't be talking.
I'm speaking to you to make you understand that you should be sound and go deep within the soul.
That I understand too. No,
and then everything will take place.
Yes, no, that I understand. But I have no cause about that.
Then everything will take care of itself. But you only keep up the good way.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to take you to the
hospital. No, it's legitimate. I mean, you're totally honest from your point of view.
I understand.
What? You are totally honest from your point of view.
Yeah.
I recognize that.
Sure.
One of the most crucial thing that I learned is to ask myself, what am I assuming?
Yeah.
You know, to that point of view. And then I look at the assumption. And I find the assumption on which is point of view of the spotted.
Right.
You know, because I'm assuming.
Sure.
And I sure don't see Robert the way other people see me.
Yeah, there's all points of view.
And I realize that from a very strict point of view, I don't, at this moment, know that there's a road outside there. Now, you would say half an hour ago, I was driving up in the car and there was a road. But right now I'm sitting, and I'm not, I think there's a road outside there. But I don't really know it in an absolute sense. I could assume it. That's not the reasonable assumption. There's lots of assumptions that I've had when I looked at it. They weren't reasonable.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe we were making some assumptions that we assume for other people. That's what's going to happen. I've never really thought about all the things you're trying to do, but maybe you would like to do it, maybe not. I don't know.
No, I didn't say that. You want to stand
by. I don't know what you mean. I'm just saying, you know. If it doesn't smile too much.
Robert's describing reality. And we're told if he wants to go and get him when he talks, and the problem, then he has to maybe prescribe the best thing you're finding. After you describe silence, you just do silence, and then you get there. In your case, you're probably like 7 years away from enlightenment. And it will probably happen when it's time to see it.
I wish.
My criteria is my own.
It's a generous assumption. I wouldn't have made that prognosis, but it's very generous of you.
Maybe it'll make it for me.
Everybody's a guru.
My criteria is my own limitation. That's what I'm thinking at this moment. Maybe the next moment I'll have different ones. I may have spoken about this just recently. You know, I had an experience due to the who am I? And I really made a stupid thing. I had a vibration here. And I didn't recognize it in a book later on. I read that this is one of the things that happened, you know. And the funny thing is, it came from here to here, from here to here. And I knew at that time, I'd read, what I knew, I'd read, that the spiritual heart is relatively speaking that I can try. And I said to him, this can't have to do with me because this goes to the stomach, the vibration. And my heart doesn't go to the stomach. And then I looked at the hill, what a stupid thing it is. I had equated my spiritual heart with the same size as my physical heart. Therefore, the vibration could be in the stomach, but not physical heart, not where the stomach is. Heart is heart and stomach is stomach, you know? I didn't hear that I could be that stupid, because when I reflected that, that's what I must have assumed, you know, that the spiritual heart can only be the size of the physical heart, and therefore the vibration of the stomach can have nothing to do with the spiritual heart. I mean, that's really stupid. I am not usually that stupid, but that can't surprise me, because I can think of the spiritual heart as a thin point, and I can think of it as being all the universes, pervading all the universes, being all the universes.
It's not super at all, Frank, because it made you realize that there's something hard.
Yeah.
But so it's very useful.
Yeah. But I know my physical heart is not where the stomach is. That's where the criteria went. And therefore, the vibration that went right to the stomach couldn't possibly have anything to do with the spiritual heart.
But all the mistakes we made is not because we're stupid, it's because it shows us it's a mistake and we have to grow out of it. It makes us go on with.
But that was one of the assumptions I'm talking about, what kind of things I'm assuming, you know, without even knowing what I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And I was assuming that the spiritual heart has only the size of the physical heart. Mm-hmm. That's what I was assuming, you know. And I mentioned many times, you have a point of view and assumption. If the assumption is wrong, the point of view is wrong. Mm-hmm. And this is happening again here. And it's very hard to know the assumption one is operating on, because they're usually below. You don't see it, you come out of the top of what you think it is, and you don't see what the assumption is based on. Not only the most viable things to learn, to ask yourself, what am I assuming when I have this point of view? So I'm still assuming things, and I'm trying to be assuming things, but I know that my assumptions are mine, they're not his. So I don't expect you to dance with your day.
Maybe next week I'll dance.
It's okay to have false assumptions. They drop after a while.
Yeah.
When you see they're false, they drop.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to put yourself down for it.
No, I'm not putting down shit, but it happens.
It seems like there's a stage when you're looking at the teaching, you keep examining and you see enlightened or not, and then there seems to be a point that doesn't even make any difference, like questions that even enter into your mind.
Well, that's true. You're coming here to be with yourself. I am only yourself. There's no teaching, there's no student. There's just a self. Eventually you see that. There's no separation.
That's part of my stuff. Right on. Bravo.
Robert has often said that when you're in a burning building, don't stop to admire the pictures. Get out as fast as you can. And that's like the Buddha story of the man that was shot with an arrow. Rather than pull the arrow out to save himself, he needed to know who shot the arrow and what was his profession and who was his father and so on and so on and so on. Rather than pull the arrow out to save himself, he needs to know the answer to all these questions.
And then he died. Maybe then he died some important matter.
And when some intellectuals came to see Buddha, they ask him all these questions of the origin of the universe and the existence of God, all these physiological and ontological questions, and Buddha just sat silent. knew that the answer to these questions would not change you at all, because becoming awake has nothing to do with knowing the answer to these questions.
That's a good point.
I wanted to know if you could comment on something, Robert. When you're observing yourself, and feelings arise, is the idea not the idea to stop the feeling, or to just be non-attached? In the same way that when thoughts come, when you're observing your thoughts, the idea to start the thoughts but to not be attached to the thoughts.
There are two ways. One is to observe them, become to witness to them, and just watch without trying to change them. And if you can do that, they will dissipate and become weaker. The other way is to grab them and ask, to whom do they come? Who has these thoughts? And realize it's your ego, the I, that has the thoughts. And then you ask yourself, where did the I come from? So you use the method which is more convenient for you at the time of your evolution.
This is kind of related to the question I asked last week about samskaras. You said the fancy, although the electricity was cut off, the fancy seems to stick. We may appear to be the same when in actuality we are not the same. The question is connected with that, in that perhaps if the actions continue, but there's no identification with those reactions.
What you're saying is true. And the example I gave about the fan with the power being cut off is for the sake of others. But as far as I'm concerned, there is no fan, there's nothing going on, there's no reaction to anything. But when you see a teacher that you're talking about, and the teacher's acting in a funny way, yet people say he's enlightened. That's what you're saying at that time. So you give the example of the fan as you pull out the plug, but the blade is still spinning. The teacher's working out the balance in his karma. That's how it is to others. But to the one who's experiencing that, there's no karma, there's no fan, there's no working on anything. There's no existence, there's only consciousness. And consciousness is silence.
So
the answer would be, if something like that appears for you, or you see something like that, do not try to figure it out, but sit in the silence.
Well, I'm not speaking so much in terms of observing someone else. I'm talking about, within my own experience, the difference between reacting and identifying. Say, for instance, someone dies, you react by mourning, but you don't identify with that mourning.
You can say that, yes.
So I'm trying to make a distinction between reacting and the identification, where it's some may think that when one is awake, there is no reaction. What the point I'm trying to make is it's not a matter of reacting, but a matter of identifying.
Yes. When I saw a dog being killed, a car ran over the dog and the dog was dying, tears came to my eyes. But then the next moment, when it was all over, it's like it never happened. It was gone. There's no longer any remorse. I don't know. There's a time that it did happen. Just by the activities.
So we need not think that person has awakened an empty shell of reaction, of it's just no identification.
There's no identification. But the truth is, nothing like that is really happening.
Well, that's
correct. It's not even a question to identify. There's no new.
Well, I'm speaking from my own experience. I see that when an occurrence happens, I observe myself. In that observation, I see a reaction, and then I see if there is an identification. If I identify with that reaction, then it lingers. If I don't identify, it's just a state of
it. But you're making it too stretched out. Just look, observe, and know where you are. That's what you have to do. Know the truth about yourself. And don't think whether you're identifying or not identifying, go through all that stuff. Merely realize, whom does this come? I feel this. Where did the I come from? And realize the I doesn't exist. And if the I doesn't exist, the condition doesn't exist. Because the condition is part of the I. The solution is always transcending the I. That's a good name for a book, Transcending the I.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
solution is always transcending the eye. That's a very pithy statement.
You're okay with me. You're okay with me.
I feel the same way as well.
If this condition we're describing, this mind condition, which almost seems to turn the body and being the body and being it, if that were eliminated, then what happened is no one could see me in the dark. Maybe it would. And what I'm talking about is something like what the moon said about the stages between life and suicide, or Hamlet is real, not to be. And I also know something about karma and these things cannot be left behind. You have to face up to the answer. But what do you have to say?
As long as you identify with the body and the mind, then what you're saying is true. There is karma, and there are conditions, and the body came to this earth to fulfill its karmic purpose. But as soon as you transcend the idea that there's a body or a mind, and you become no thing, then everything else becomes redundant. And you become free of the whole thing. So all the works of Shakespeare and William Blake and Edward Carpenter and all these other people, they're fine and well, they're mystical. But they have to do with the body and the mind. It all has to do with I. I am having an experience. I am spiritual. I feel God. As long as there's an I to feel God or to have an experience, then it's not real awakening. When there's real awakening, there's no eye to have any experience. But the eye has been transcended. In other words, there's nobody there to have any experience. You're totally free. And when you're free, you don't feel an individual personality. You feel as if you are the self of all. You feel your omnipresence. Your personality is gone. So all these voluminous works that have been written are really for the eye. I have experienced this and I have experienced that. And I have traveled the world, and I have searched and searched. And I have found this, and I have found that. There's always the I. It's so simple to me. If the I goes, everything else goes. And you're free. It's very funny. Yeah. Now most of us have so many books we read. But if you had a glimpse of who you really were, you wouldn't even be interested in reading another book. That's a good point. Only unfortunately with some people, they become real bookworms. And the books become Christians. They have a whole library filled with books. Whenever something happens, they have to turn the pages in a book to find the solution, or to memorize certain words, or to read a certain chapter that makes them feel good. It's good if they burn all the books and they're left standing naked without any crutch or without anybody to depend on. Then that will help them more than the books.
You were awakened when you were 14. Did you read anything after that?
I glanced through things to confirm my feelings. So I did look through books. Because I didn't know what I was. I had no idea what happened.
But after you met,
I still glance at books now, but I do not glance with my finite knowledge.
So it's just curiosity.
I will see who the writer is and what they're writing about us in the book. I'm not trying to learn anything or acquire any knowledge or acquire anything. I'm just amused at the amount of words they use. They take one sentence and then they make a really big book. But as long as you believe you are the body-mind phenomenon, it's very important. All these things are important as long as you are part of the law. If you do not learn these things in school, then you'll suffer. You will not be able to get a good job. You will be at a low income rate. So if you're going to be part of the world, by all means study, go to school, and learn what you can. In the meanwhile, work on yourself until you transcend and become free. Nothing that I know. I have no interest in anything except football and Fox News.
Really, just, you were just sort of an ordinary blogger, too?
That's it. Yeah. I never asked for anything.
You had no teachers,
no nothing, no project.
And you had literature.
And
read anything. Just
occurred. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
It appears to be a gift when you look at it like that. I'm sure there was a time and a place when I worked for it then, somewhere, somehow.
Why did you choose
it? Because that's what they say.
Well, who
cares what they say? That's
what even though you know everything,
I know everything. I know nothing.
Oh, come on.
Really, I know nothing. Of course I know everything. I know absolutely nothing.
What's
the name? I
don't
know. What's the
name?
I never read that book.
Some people sometimes have the experience where they have the feeling they know everything. It's a feeling. But it doesn't mean they know how a shoe polish is composed of. It's a feeling of knowing everything.
Well, no, when you turn a sand, there's no feeling whatsoever. There's nothing. If there were a feeling, it would have to be something.
Tell me what I feel. Right. No. Yeah.
Are you at liberty to stick around or to leave?
Where would I go?
Well, I mean, fantastic. You know, get rid of your body.
Yeah, you're
talking
about the moment where would I go?
That's cool. This is why I always say that you're omnipresent. You're everywhere to begin with. All this is the self, and I am that. So where can I go?
Well, but if your body would die, you wouldn't be around for us.
That's your viewpoint.
You know?
Listen, I'm worried for you. I want to know what kind of breakfast cereal you eat. Because if your body went to China, you would still be with me. There are many times that I have visions. Then I meet Ramana, and we have a conversation, we take a walk along the banks of the Ganges, and we talk. Nothing ever dies.
How
do you talk? Like the weather.
About
No, really.
You talk about the matter,
or anything.
Whatever.
About things that don't exist.
Do you have a choice to stick around forever, like you are now?
The way I am now, I will be here forever. If there's no place to be, you'll know forever. I am always there. There's nowhere to go. And there's no place I came from. But what you're saying is this body. So to you, it will not be here. as long as you are in the present state of consciousness, you will see the body die and be burnt or buried or whatever. You can throw it in the garbage can. But that's what you will see. But that's not happening. So there's nobody who ever died. What doesn't exist cannot be burned or buried. So you should ask yourself, who sees the body die? What body dies? Ask yourself to find out. So let's go into the silence now and practice any procedure that suits you. When we do it together, there's a higher vibration.